If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
On today's episode of the Fumble Rooski podcast, the Packers get the last laugh against Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers on Sunday Night Football. It feels like 2014 again. The Colts, the Broncos, and the Pats reign top three in the AFC. And the Ravens, without Lamar for another week, keep their playoff aspirations alive. After that, a recap of Monday Night Football. Week 8, top three, bottom three. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 818 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. He's CJ Medeiros. He's Justin Tucker. I'm Chris Kostich. Glad for you to join us for week 8. A little recap of the week, some of the storylines. Before we get started, CJ has a bit of a bone to pick, so I'll just leave the floor to you at this point.
My fellow Americans, you know, we love to rip on the Kansas City Chiefs for getting all these terrible calls, and we like to make fun of their fans, you know, watching them do their mental gymnastics to support it. But now it looks like we can throw the Philadelphia Eagles in that same category. Now, for those of you who don't already know, the Eagles tried their famous or infamous, depending on how you look at it, tush-push play, where Jalen Hurts extends over the first down line. And what do you know? He very clearly fumbles. He's very clearly not on the ground. And it's a clear recovery by Giants edge rusher Kayvon Thibodeau. And it was ruled a first down. And, you know, Giants fans, heck, I'm a Pats fan. I hate the Giants. And I'm looking at that and saying, what the hell? How is that not a fumble? And, you know, their reasoning was, oh, well, it was forward progress and then it was stopped. And I'm like, well, that's like got to be the fastest forward progress stoppage in the history of the world. No. So, yeah, Eagles, you're right up there with Chiefs fans now as far as excuses go. Congratulations. Also from that game, to add insult to injury, Giants fans can't have anything nice. Cam Scataboo, one of the new favorites of the league, basically, if you took the personality of Rob Gronkowski and put it in a running back, nope, he's hurt, probably done for the year. Dislocated ankle, carted off the field, and you guys know how it is. Once you get carted off, 99% chance you don't come back. I don't know why they can't have nice things. Maybe they sold their soul for those two Super Bowls against New England. Who really knows? But that's just really, really unfortunate for them. You know, Eagles-Giants game, you know, really ended up being kind of a nothing burger as far as that goes. But two big storylines right there.
I was actually kind of surprised that Red Zone showed the play of Scataboo getting hurt, because that was...
Yeah, they usually don't do that.
It was pretty disgusting. It's unfortunate. He got surgery pretty immediately yesterday as well. As you mentioned, most likely going to miss the rest of the season. Hopefully it doesn't derail his career. But geez,
I mean, all fans really hate to see it. I mean, nobody disliked Scataboo.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into our main storylines for this week. Packers get the win against Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers 35-25. And boy, I felt like I was watching like Patriots back in the day, raining their terror over the Steelers. Like Like, this game looked like it was Tom Brady to Rob Gronkowski and just sunning them the entire game. Like, Tucker Kraft went ridiculous. Jordan Love was ridiculous. Love ended up finishing this game with 360 yards total passing. Tucker Kraft, 143 yards. This dude was a yak machine last night, Sunday night. Aaron Rodgers didn't have a bad game himself, 219 yards and two touchdowns himself. But this is a game where Packers pretty much controlled pretty much the entire day or the entire night. Josh Jacobs wasn't a big game from him. Emmanuel Wilson was really good, 5.5 yards per carry. Jordan Love showing off the deep ball himself, but Aaron Rodgers also sacked three times in this one. Kenneth Gainwell lost a fumble. Either way, it was a good win for the Packers, and I feel like that the offense has looked a little weird in past weeks, and this was a good game to kind of get themselves into a good track. Tuck, we'll start with you. Thoughts on the game?
What do you think my thoughts are on the game? The Steelers lost. It's already a great game for me. It's fantastic. Oh, my God. First off, congratulations to the Green Bay Packers. They deserve that one, especially Jordan Love. He played like an MVP candidate. At one point in time, he had 20 straight completions. That's actually very hard to do, so congrats to Jordan Love. That defense was all over Aaron Rodgers, including Micah Parsons with that sack. And then the second one where Aaron Rodgers was able to get the ball away, but he noticed Micah Parsons was right behind him.
Are you talking about the play where he just like spiked it into the ground? That was horseshit. Yes. That should have been intentional grounding.
It really should have.
It should have been that's the line of scrimmage.
Either way, it doesn't matter because it was fourth down anyways.
Yeah, and they had to punt. And Micah Parsons was going straight down for him. So he was able to like throw it away, yeah, essentially. But, oh, that was close. Overall, I thought the game was good. National Tight End Day didn't disappoint, especially for Tucker Kraft, who was abusing that secondary. Oh, my. It felt like they couldn't tackle him. They couldn't get him down for nothing. Two touchdowns on the day. Over 100 yards receiving. It's like they couldn't stop this man, even if they wanted to. Christian Watson had that gigantic, like, huge conversion when Jordan Love threw it up in the air. And they got him into the Steelers' red zone. And all of a sudden, what looked like a close game all just became Packers, Packers, Packers in the second half. And so, overall, good win by the Green Bay Packers. I think they are going to be a tough out in the NFC. And the Steelers are the Steelers. I hope they lose every single week. I'm not hoping for their prosperity. That's not happening. Suffer. There we go, guys. That's nice. How I feel.
It's a good recap. I love how you're showing off the division hate. CJ.
Yeah, there's never any love lost in the NFC North or AFC North that much.
The Black Air Force of the Black Air Force ones of the NFL.
Oh my God. I mean that's apt. I'll give you that. So, yeah, I mean, what can you say about this game other than just what a collapse by Pittsburgh? You know, that's the way I look at it. I mean, you look at halftime, right? It's 16-7 Steelers. End of the third quarter, 19-14 Steelers. And then the Green Bay Packers wake up 21 points. That's three touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Pittsburgh only gets six. And to be fair, that last touchdown, that was garbage time. That's just dressing up the score. You know, it was really 35-19. You know, Pittsburgh's able to get it within 10. But Jordan Love, it's not even Toyotathon. And he's already saying, all right, that's it. You know, maybe I'll have to do a little bit more. 360 yards and three touchdowns. You already mentioned that. 29 of 37, and Tuck mentioned at one point had 20 straight completions. That's huge. But the team stats, I think, are huge. Running was pretty evenly matched. Steelers had 93 total rushing yards. Green Bay had 94. But it was the way the Green Bay passing defense was able to just give Rodgers fits. Rodgers himself wasn't terrible. I mean, really, like I said, you know, it's only one touchdown because, you know, garbage time stat padding is nothing. You know, 219 yards. He went 24 of 36. He looked really sharp getting his completions where he, wherever he could in the first half. But then the second half, that was brutal. That's where a bulk of his incomplete of his 12 incompletions came. And kept Aaron Rodgers under 250, only 202 passing yards, with Jordan Love, like I say, getting 360. You combine everything together, and Green Bay dominated with 454 total yards to Pittsburgh's 295. They had 7.2 yards of play to Pittsburgh's 5.2, which is nothing to sneeze at. And for me, the story of the day, I mean, a lot of it is just, it's what happens in the trenches, right? Green Bay, for the most part, kept Jordan Love clean. Zero sacks allowed. Pittsburgh gave up 3 sacks. And, you know, when you have a guy who's older than Rodgers, who was always a good east-west style quarterback, you know, he could slide out of the pocket and make an off-balance throw. Can't really do that anymore. And if I had to describe Steelers, I know we want to focus more on the winning team, but I do have to notice the inefficiency here as they went 1 of 10 on third down compared to Green Bay, who went 5 of 12. That's almost half. So it was literally just a tale of two teams, especially in the fourth quarter. Just Green Bay woke up, Pittsburgh collapsed. It's pretty simple.
Yeah. Right now, Packers currently hold the top seed in the NFC. I will talk about the Steelers for just a hot second. I think this just more or less confirms what we know about the defense and that their secondary is trash. That's really all I got for the Steelers, to be honest. Tuck, you mentioned National Tight Ends Day. I wanted to throw this out there for you since you mentioned it. Tight ends that scored on National Tight End Day. Dallas Goedert, 2 touchdowns. George Kittle and Jake Tongs for the 49ers. In the Browns-Pats game, Harold Fannin Jr. and Hunter Henry. Jets-Bengals. Mason Taylor freaking mossed a dude to win the game. Also, David Njoku also scored in the Browns-Pats game. Ravens-Bears, Charlie Kolar. Titans-Colts, Gunnar Helm, and Tucker Kraft, of course, with 2 touchdowns on National Tight End Day. I love National Tight End Day.
All touchdowns on National Tight Ends Day as well. Hey, yeah. See, the QBs, they know what's up. They know, you know, you got to feed the big fella. It's a National Tight Ends Day miracle. 12 touchdowns. That's beautiful. I don't know if it's ever been done before, but hey.
It definitely has. I'm pretty sure there was a ton of tight ends that scored last or the last few years in general. National Running Backs Day was a couple of weeks ago, and the running backs did not show out for that at all. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. I just know they are low. Adam has a stat for us as well. Here we are. Tight ends on National Tight Ends Day, 12 touchdowns and over 1,000 yards recorded collectively. Very nice stat, Adam. Thank you. But yeah, there's our coverage for National Tight Ends Day and recap of Packers Steelers. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look at the Colts, Broncos, and Patriots, top 3 teams in the AFC. Pretenders or contenders? Bring it back just for these 3 teams. All that and more. This is the Fumble Rooster Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooster Podcast. Let's talk about 2014. Or should I say 2025? Colts, Broncos, and Patriots, all in the top 3 of the AFC. Of course, Colts, top of the AFC South. Broncos, actually don't know about the Broncos right now. Pats are at the top of the AFC East. Broncos are at the top of the AFC West. First time that this has happened since 2014, 2015. Either way, let's talk about the Colts first. Cruise to 7-1 after a huge win against the Titans, 38-14. Adam, what you got? Speaking of the Titans, we actually have some breaking news. Ooh, I love some breaking news. What we got, Adam?
Adam's making an overlay, people.
Adam's making a graphic right now.
No pressure, Adam.
I'm curious. Ooh.
Chat, can we get the Jeopardy theme in here, por favor?
Any day now.
Trey, Titans are sending cornerback Roger McCreary to the Rams for a conditional fifth and sixth round pick swap conditions. Titans get fifth round pick closer to the beginning of the round, which most likely will be the Titans' original fifth round pick, and the Rams will receive the sixth round pick. All right. Nothing crazy about that. I was expecting something crazier, to be honest. But,
disappointment is on.
Yeah, so the Colts. Daniel Jones and Jonathan Taylor currently are top eight in MVP odds. Who would have thought we'd be talking about Indiana Jones, Danny Dimes, as
Vanilla Vic
candidate? What'd you say?
Vanilla Vic. That's what
Vanilla Vic. I don't know.
I would argue it's more Drake May, but yeah.
I would too. But yeah, this is a team that's just absolutely gangbusters. I said this stat back on Friday. Jonathan Taylor has more three touchdown games than the Jets have this entire season, which I'm going to have to check that again because the Jets obviously had themselves a big day against the Bengals. But yeah, Jonathan Taylor, 153 yards, two rushing touchdowns in this game. Had four touchdowns last week. He's currently projected 26 rushing touchdowns with four receiving. I meant to say three rushing touchdowns last week. But boy, three touchdowns last week. He had three total this week, two rushing, one receiving. Sorry, my stats are just all over the place today. He's also projected to have 2,200 scrimmage yards right now. Both Daniel Jones and Jonathan Taylor are top eight in MVP odds, around plus 2,000 for both. In terms of Daniel Jones, 21 for 29, three passing touchdowns. And now he's on pace for 4,300 yards, 28 touchdowns, six interceptions, which again would be the first time that he would have over 23 touchdown passes since his rookie season. Defense is gangbusters. The offense is nails. Are they contenders or are they pretenders? CJ, we'll start with you.
I said this last week, and I will say it again. My resolve has only been strengthened. I think they're contenders. Look. As fans, I know we tend to look at names and go, Ack, that's not a sexy name. You know, hell, I call him Danny Derps for the longest time. You know, like your naming tree. You know, we love him, one of my favorite sports YouTubers. But, I mean, look, you're real till you're not. You know, like, I mean, look, you are what your record says you are. That's, I believe, what Bill Parcells once said. They're 7-1. Daniel Jones has a little over 2,000 yards, 13 touchdowns, only three picks, completion percentage of 71%, and a passer rating of 109.5. Not to mention they have beaten good teams, you know, like the Chargers and the Broncos. I mean, you know, they only lost to the Rams, you know, who are also a good team. So, honestly, it's one of those things where you can say, oh, maybe their schedule's soft, but at the end of the day, they're beating the teams that are in front of them. And that's really all you can ask. So, are the Colts real? Yeah. Because, you know, if you're not sold on Daniel Jones, I implore you to be sold on Jonathan Taylor. That's a one-man wrecking crew right there. Jesus, God. And I can tell you this, as a Jonathan Taylor fantasy owner, oh boy, oh boy. We're talking about what he's on pace for. He already has 12 touchdowns. And it has been 8 weeks And he already has 850 yards. He's averaging almost 6 yards a carry at 5.9. That man's unstoppable. Every time I see him run, I think of that movie, X-Men, The Last Stand, where you just, you know, where you have the Juggernaut, like, I'm the Juggernaut, bitch, as he just, like, you know, goes through walls, like, elite movie scene, by the way. But, yeah, that's just how he's running. Yeah, that's just, that's how it is, man. Like, good God. But for me, the real turning point was the defense. They fired that human, I don't know, I don't have a funny line for that. They fired that bum Gus Bradley. That Gus Bradley-led defense was god-awful. But then, you know, now that he's gone, oh, my God, the defense is actually, you know, playing defense. And, you know, and you see guys that they have there, you know, like DeForest Buckner, Kenny Moore, et cetera. And, you know, they're not flashy, but they're getting it done. They're stifling their opponents. And, yeah, they're very real. The defense, Jonathan Taylor, and, yes, until he proves us wrong, even Daniel Jones. 7-1 don't lie, usually, unless you're the Steelers from 2020. But that's not – but this is different. Very different.
CJ, or Tuck.
I'm trying to, like, beat – like, I think they're contenders. I think at the fair least, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're 7-1. I can't complain about them, but I can't. It's the Titans, so I can't be like overly. They're head and shoulders above everyone else. That's
it's
how
the original game, man.
Doesn't matter to me. I do not feel like the Titans are a competent organization right now, despite the news we just heard. I do not care. You see the way Cam Ward was talking to his head coach while he was playing the Colts. Wouldn't happen. Oh man. All in all, we're talking about the Colts. I think they're a good team. I think Danny Dimes is playing out of his mind. I think Jonathan Taylor is, quite frankly, the best running back in the NFL right now. It's not even close. 12 touchdowns is 12 touchdowns. I can't argue with that. And he almost has over – he's almost at 1,000 yards, and it's only week 8. That defense is solid. They're winning the games they need to win. And I'm honestly shocked at how well they're doing under – quarterback Danny Dimes' direction. I think they are going to be a very tough out, especially if the running game and the defense holds. I don't know who you can legitimately say is better than them or can stop them, but I don't just it's something I can't describe. It's just something. Maybe it's my biases against Danny Dimes. Maybe it's I feel like they won't give Jonathan Taylor the ball when they absolutely have to. Maybe it's one of those things, but I'm just not sure. Like, I'm not completely sold on them. I'm sold enough to where I think they could be the number one seed in the AFC, but that doesn't mean much to me. But all in all, I like the Colts. I just don't know yet.
I think the Colts are contenders, but I kind of also have a weird feeling that this could very much be a 2024 Vikings thing where you know, Sam Darnold kind of collapsed in the last 2 weeks of the season. Maybe Daniel Jones does the same thing, but Daniel Jones does have that playoff experience, granted only 2 games, but he's got it under his belt. So I think that's what he has the edge over Sam Darnold on in this case. So, yeah. Broncos winning their 5th straight after crushing the Cowboys 44-24 and I feel like this is the first time we've actually seen the Broncos offense actually perform the way that they would hope to perform, granted against a bad Cowboys defense that was hampered by injuries as well, but still a good win nonetheless. The entire receiving core was going off. Bo Nix had a great game. But of course, we're going to ask the same question here. Contenders or pretenders? Tuck, we'll start with you this time.
I think they're contenders because of the division that they play in. I think that because of the Chiefs and the Chargers, actual like competent like competitors, and you see how they play against them. I'm convinced that they'll actually do well. I think they're going to be a very tough out because that defense is unbelievable right now. Nick Bonito, Jade Barron and Patrick Surtain being key examples of it. If that defense holds, I think they'll be fine. I think my only question is Bo Nix. I saw him last year in the playoffs. I wasn't very convinced. Now that he has that experience under his belt, I want to know whether or not he'll take the next step in what Sean Payton believes is a franchise quarterback's direction. I kind of want to see him in that in the playoffs again to see what he's capable of. Outside of that, they did what they were supposed to. They beat up on the Cowboys. They look good while doing it. Also, they should keep those uniforms off topic. They should keep those uniforms. They're amazing. But all in all, great team win. Solid performance on the offensive side of the ball, which we had questions about. We had no questions about the defense. They did what they were supposed to. Good job on them. I think they could win this division.
CJ.
You all know I'm not a huge Bo Nix fan. Like, I think he's good, but I don't think, you know, he's going to be like a franchise savior like a Mahomes or a Jackson or a Burrow or an Allen. But you know what is legit? And this is why I have to say they are. Defense. Do you know why, boys and girls? Because defense wins championships. You know, look, Nick Bonito. We already know that this guy's a monster. He's in the defensive player of the year conversation, and rightfully so. And it's not even just him. You've got he's got a partner in crime that not a lot of people talk about. Linebacker Jonathan Cooper. So Bonito has 8 sacks, Cooper has 6. And heck, Zach Allen and John Franklin Myers are pitching in with 4 apiece. So the only knock I have on their defense is that, all right, it's going to sound stupid. They don't really take the ball away. I believe they only have 4 interceptions outright and 3 fumble recoveries. So they've played 8 games and they only have 7 takeaways. The defense is good, but you're going to need to take the ball away more. That's like my only gripe. And Bo Nix, I mean, what else is there to even say? Like, you really can't hate on the guy. He's got 1,800 yards, or 1,803, 15 touchdowns, 5 picks, passer rating of 91. And that Denver ground game, I mean, we like to look at Bo Nix, but hey, that team has over 1,000 yards on the ground already. 1,102 to be exact, and 10 rushing touchdowns. You know, 4 of them come from J.K. Dobbins, 3 from Nix, 2 from rookie R.J. Harvey. So it's kind of like a Swiss Army knife team where there's a multitude of ways they can hurt you. So honestly, I'm leaning real. I want to see how they stack up against the Chiefs. And, you know, maybe when they play the Chargers again, I want to see how that goes. But once again, you're real till you're not.
I am going to lean pretender on this one. Not saying that their defense isn't all that in a bag of chips. It is, but this offense is way too inconsistent for my liking, and they got a very tough task next week against the Texans, against a equally as good defense. So I think I'm going to lead pretenders, but it's one of those things that they're still going to compete for. They're still going to be a playoff team. Don't get me wrong, but I think that's all they're going to be is a playoff team. All right. Patriots winning their 5th straight against the Browns, 32-13. Drake May. I'll start on this one. Sure. I'm going to go contenders, but obviously with some caution, there's still a long way to go. Team's hot. And you could also make the argument that teams that they played were bad. There's no getting around that. Obviously, this was this Browns team, this one of, if not the best defense in the league. But Drake May ended up shredding them apart. This is now the first time that he's had this many games in a row, or he joins an elite class of QBs that have had this many games in a row of QBR of over 100. Which joins Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Peyton Manning as the only quarterbacks to do so. I think my one concern for this team is the slow starts. which has happened kind of frequently now, especially in the last few weeks. Just in the first quarter, of course, they start to really pick it up around the middle of the second quarter and just end up blowing everybody out of the water at that point. So that's always good to see, finishing strong. But I want to see the Patriots start strong. I need to see that before I can really get into, like, we're winning the whole damn thing. They're winning the whole damn thing. I would love to see that. But, and Adam just fed a stat to me. They have, the defense has allowed points on the opening drive of the game or the opponent's offensive opening drive in six of the first eight games. So I, point proven, I'd love to see that cleaned up. Tuck, we'll start with you, or we'll go to you next.
Man, since I have to be the only reasonable one here in a room full of Patriots fans, I'm going pretender. I'm not, out of all the three teams here, I think they're the most pretentious, like, pretenders out of all of them. Don't get me wrong, Drake May looks good. Draking it all over the field, mind you, but he looks solid. But he looks good, even though he'll throw it to the opponents every now and then. But I think he's a very good quarterback, and I think he'll be solid for the Patriots for years to come, which is unfortunate because they just had Brady. Anyway, that defense is good. The running attack has a lot to be desired. But all in all, I think out of all three of them, I think they're the most pretenders. I'm not sure about them yet. I think they're deserving to be first in the AFC East, considering they did beat the Buffalo Bills. But outside of that, I'm not sure about them just yet. I think they need to clean up a few things before I'm like, okay, they're a legit, like, playoff contender now. But I think they're in a good spot right now.
Oh, I definitely echo that, Tuck. No doubt about it. I echo everything that you say. There's 100% a lot of things that need to be cleaned up, but the vibes are extremely high. That's for sure. CJ, before, give me a little of this, CJ. Yeah. Come on now. All right, CJ.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going contenders, but cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
The slow starts piss me off to no end. Drake May has largely cleaned up the turnover problem thus far, knock on wood. You know, he's only got like three interceptions, so yeah, that's cool. But look at his stats. Now, the thing is, you could say he has an easy schedule, but the Colts' schedule has also been easy, and they're 7-1. So why doesn't Daniel Jones look as good, I ask you? Drake May has a completion percentage of 75.2%, which I'm 99% sure leads the league. He has 2,026 yards, 15 touchdowns, only three picks, passer rating of 118.7, which leads the league. He's got, I believe, an over 70% completion percentage on deep passes. Now, as evidence by Kayshon Booty breaking out. The running game, I feel like, is taking steps in the right direction, especially if you give the ball to Travion Henderson, just saying. And it's the fact that he doesn't have an elite crutch to rely on. Stephon Diggs, he's not a long-term answer. Like, he's solid, don't get me wrong. But, you know, he's not the top three receiver in the league, Stephon Diggs. Kayshon Booty's coming along nicely. Hunter Henry's a solid tight end. The defense is also picking it up. You know, Harold Landry's 5.5 sacks. Calavon Chase on 4.5. Milton Williams, 3.5. Christian Gonzalez is slowly returning to form. He had some nice breakups last game. And even if you're not wowed at the Patriots' schedule, they beat the Panthers, who are a 500 team. I mean, they are. And they were above 500 last week, you know, before they ran to the Bills. So, and you know, New England did kind of beat the Bills, just saying, in Buffalo. And like I said, it's not like that Mac Jones weird weather game where you could say, oh, it gets an asterisk. No, there are no asterisks here. And Drake May, like, there's a one thing to beat up on teams or bad teams, but it's another thing to do it the way he's doing it, where he is, I believe, third in odds to be league MVP. But the one thing that I think separates them from the Colts and the Broncos is that they are not a run first team. This is an Adam Wright argument that I'm about to drop that I think he's correct about. Run first teams are really scary because when the run game dries up and they have to pass, they usually falter. New England is the only team of the three that is pass first, and that is built for sustainability. So I'm cautiously optimistic, but I do lean contenders.
Just to finish up your point about Drake May, first in completion percentage right now, fourth in passing yards. In terms of yards per attempt, he's at 9. There's only two other QBs, Lamar Jackson and Sam Darnold. Daniel Jones is actually right behind Drake May in terms of yards per attempt. In terms of quarterback rating, Drake May, second to Lamar Jackson, but really first since Lamar's missed the last however many weeks. Speaking of Lamar, the Ravens keeping their playoff aspirations alive. We're going to talk about that next here on the Fumble Risky Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Risky Podcast. The Ravens keeping their playoff aspirations alive with a 30-16 win against the Bears. Another little storyline as well. The Ravens are probably going to get fined if they haven't already for their mishandling of Lamar Jackson on the injury report. But that's kind of a more of a mini story to be truthful. It's really the wording of full participant in practice compared to limited participant because Lamar practiced with the scout team instead of the first team. Anyways, huge win for the Ravens, especially against the Bears team. That's been pretty hot. You know what, Tuck? I'm just going to leave it off to you. Just take it away.
I was about to say, I might as well. This is where I come in.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
I know that we're about to get fined heavily by the league. I understand this is just our first game. I understand that there's still a lot to fix on both the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball, and hopefully John Harbaugh will address it no matter how stubborn he's being. I hope that we're able to get back into form, and I hope my quarterback is there Thursday. But for this week and this week only, I don't give a damn about none of that. Yeah! We got that win! We finally got a win. 4 weeks of utter madness and losing. It has been such a tough time as a Ravens fan that win yesterday felt so good. And it's the Bears. They're not even that good. I don't care. We needed that win more than anything else right now. Tyler Huntley looked like Lamar Jackson light, and I'm happy for it because he actually runs the offense like Lamar does, and I needed that. The defense actually looked like they had a pulse yesterday. Oh, it was unbelievable. Oh my, Nate Wiggins got an interception. We never get turnovers, and we got one yesterday. Oh, that was fantastic. Derrick Henry got 2 touchdowns. We're returning to form. I don't care what anyone tells me. Miami, move out the way because y'all getting this work on Thursday. I'm no longer depressed. I'm just a Ravens fan. Here we come. Here we go. My MVP quarterback's coming back on Thursday. Lamar Jackson's going to be right there dicing up that Miami's Dolphins defense, even though they got a win against Atlanta. I don't care. We're winning the game. Here come the Ravens. I don't care about anything else right now. I know we have a lot of things to do. I don't care. This victory, we're going to make the playoffs. I am being so biased. Do not care about facts. Do not care. We're not there right now. We're making the playoffs. I needed this. Whew, that was all right. You guys can go.
All right. Ravens are 2-5. They're 3rd in the AFC North. They're currently 12th in the conference behind the Raiders, Bengals, Texans, and Chiefs. Surprisingly enough, the Chiefs are on the outside looking in right now. Looking at the Ravens schedule in general, you mentioned it already, Tuck, facing the Dolphins on Thursday night. Are you going to be the first to confirm that Lamar Jackson will be playing on Thursday night?
it has been reported that he will be available Thursday. I'm not sure.
All right, if there we go. Let's go through the schedule together. Wins and losses. Just say win or loss for these next few games. Dolphins.
Win.
Win.
Vikings.
Win.
Brown. Should be a win.
Browns is a wash.
Hmm. Say a wash?
Yeah, we're washing them. Because we beat them when our team was bad.
Okay. Okay. By the way, all three of those games are on the road. And then you're home.
Minnesota might be the only issue. Minnesota's the only issue.
Or if Lamar's there, it should be fine.
Okay.
But if they're still starting Wentz, then...
I think if anything, Adam, flashing those standings right now kind of just shows how wide open the AFC North is.
Yes, it's not as closed as we once thought. It's actually pretty close.
Yeah,
it should not be this close.
No, I mean,
well, you've also been hurt, so you know, do with that what you will. So, Chris, keep going, and in the future, please specify home or away.
Yes, home against the Jets.
Win.
Yeah, that's a win.
Home against the Bengals.
Win.
On Sunday night. Should be a
win.
All right. Yeah, win.
All right. I just wanted to do those five games. So we're saying 4-1 by the time.
I'm saying 5-0, 4-1.
Yeah, 4-1. We'll call it 4-1 just for now, going into the month of December. All right. 4-1 in that stretch. So that would be 6-6.
Yes.
I was very close to say 6-7. 6-6 going into December.
6-6, 7-5, which is doable with that schedule.
Yes. CJ, your thoughts?
Well, it looks like I have to be the only one with common sense in a room with a Ravens fan. So, yeah. Honestly, I'm happy for him. I am. You know, you were at home, took care of business against the Bears, who, by the way, Tuck, can't believe I'm about to say this, but give the Ravens some credit. The Bears were riding a 4-game win streak into M&T Bank Stadium. So, come on. I mean, granted, the running game wasn't really that efficient. Derrick Henry's still running like he's stuck in quicksand. But like you said, Tyler Huntley, or as we like to call him, I can't believe it's not Lamar. He was, you know, he handled his business. You know, he ran the offense well, 17-22, 186 yards and a touchdown, along with 53 yards on the ground. Let's call it what it is. He was a game manager. He got Charlie Kolar a nice touchdown on National Tight Ends Day. The defense, you know, flew around the field. You know, a bunch of guys got a lot of tackles. Hey, you know, Nate Wiggins got that pick. Mike Green had a sack. He was my outside favorite for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Thanks for doing nothing so far, buddy. And yeah, you know, they put the kibosh on the Bears. Caleb Williams was resulting in mostly checkdowns, barely averaged a little over 10 yards a throw. He had a 285 yards, no touchdowns, and a pick. And that story about the Bears laughing at the thought of taking Drake May over Caleb Williams is getting worse and worse and worse every day, and I love it. The Bears actually outgained the Ravens on the ground. The time of possession was pretty close. But honestly, the Bears were moving up and down the field. It's just the Ravens' defense snapped shut on them in the red zone, you know, forcing the Bears to settle for field goals, which, do the math, guys. 16, that is a touchdown, field goal, and field goal. So, hey, Ravens' defense, you know, give them credit for, you know, for staying tall in the red zone. Yeah, you know, winning with your backup against a team that had four straight wins, nothing to sneeze at. And now Lamar's coming back, so maybe they get better. Maybe.
Yeah, either way, this is a big pickup for a big, just a big win in general. Just gives you a lot of momentum going into this next stretch where should be a lot of winnable games coming up through the next month. So hopefully for your mental health, your Tuck, they get that done. All right. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. Recap of the Monday Night Football game, the Chiefs and the Commanders, and then week 8, top 3, bottom 3. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
All right, let's start talking about Monday Night Football for a little, I guess. Chiefs worked the Commanders 28-7. Patrick Mahomes, inevitable. That's all it really is. We say it every year. He's currently at the top of the MVP odds. He had a bad first half. I wonder if they'll dock him for the bad first half, but goodness, 3 touchdowns in the second half, 299 yards total in this game. Chiefs are right back where they're supposed to be. And the Commanders, we'll touch on the Commanders in a second, but Tuck, we'll start with you. Thoughts on the game?
I was about to use profanity as my first words. Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs. They deserve to win this game. They basically had it from start to finish, even though halftime it was 7-7. When the second half came around, it was clearly the Kansas City Chiefs show. Patrick Mahomes looked abysmal in the first half, but got it going in the second half. Travis Kelce turned back the clock in the second half. He looked very good as well. The Chiefs defense, once again, shows you why they're a top five defense in this league. I don't care what anyone says. They are a very good defense and somehow keep Kansas City in these games until they have time to warm up and actually be a good team. I don't know how they continue to do it, but all in all, a good victory for them, good thing all around, and another win to help them see if they can win another AFC West title.
CJ?
Well, yeah, it's pretty much what it says. Yeah, they worked the Commanders out of Kansas City. Now the Commanders, I'll give them credit, you played one half of football. You had us fooled into thinking it would be a game. But then you decided to, you know, be the Commanders. And look, for that first half, I think we can all admit they were punching way above their weight. They were in over their head. You know, you had it 7-7 going to half. Mahomes had a bad half of football. Maybe, like you said, that does hurt him. Maybe it doesn't. But, I mean, as far as the MVP race goes. But, yeah, the Chiefs won a game that they should have. I mean, that's really all you can say. You know, that's how it is. You play who's in front of you. And this is one of those games where I feel like if they had Daniels, this really could have been an exciting game, especially with like that weird first half and how they went flat in the second. You put Daniels in that game, I'm not saying they win, but it's watchable, you know. But overall, Chiefs defense, you know, held off the Commanders long enough for, you know, Mahomes to get the molasses out of his ass. And yeah. Honestly, you know, it was a good win for the Chiefs. Commanders, yeah, not having Daniels sucks, but injuries are part of the game. Yeah, no, it's pretty cut and dry.
On top of that, too, Terry McLaurin also left the game with a hamstring injury as well. And they also lost Laremy Tunsil in the third quarter. So injuries starting to pile up some more for Washington. So they're in a bit of trouble. They're currently 3-5, and boy, they kind of suck on the road as well. It's something that we haven't really mentioned. And the road doesn't get easier from here. Seahawks next week on Sunday Night Football, and then the Lions the week after that. And they don't see a bye for quite a little bit. So not good for Washington. And Marcus Mariota didn't play that bad in the first half. Just gradually over time, the plague just got worse and worse and worse. And yeah. All right. Week 8, top 3, bottom 3. Let us know who you think should have been on or who shouldn't have made the list. Top 3. The New York Jets. Rest in peace, Nick Mangold. Rest in peace to him. Sad. Unfortunate death. One of the better offensive linemen of our generation.
and one of the more pivotal pieces in the Rex Ryan years on the Jets. Just unfortunate. But this was the Jets' day. If they were going to win any, if they were going to win on any day, this was the day. And what a game to win. Down by 14 in the fourth, come back, and you win on, and they won on Breece Hall throwing a touchdown pass to Mason Taylor, who absolutely mossed the defender for the score. Sports, man. That's sports. All right. Baltimore Ravens. Huge bounce back victory. They were, I mean, we talked about it earlier in the show, but Ravens were down in the mud, couldn't really get going. Derrick Henry had a solid day, but this was a all around great victory against a hot Bears team with no Lamar. And now, news breaking a little bit earlier today, Lamar Jackson officially expected to play Thursday night. How are we feeling about that, Tuck?
Pretty damn good, if I'm being honest. I get my MVP quarterback back on Thursday.
Hell yeah. Final team on the top three, the Broncos. Offense finally looked alive. 44 points against the Cowboys. Finally playing a consistent 60 minutes of football. That offense did. Finally. The bottom three. The Falcons. Start there. You had to start Kirk. You're without Drake London, but like this was against one of the worst defenses in the league. Most specifically, one of the worst run defenses in the league. And they couldn't get Bijan going for shit. And then when they finally kind of did start to get him going, he fumbled the football. Wasn't their day. And this is one, like, the Falcons have yet to really show out to be like, hey, we're going to be a good team. It's always, you'd think it's always every other week with this team, but, and that's what I said on Friday. But now you still don't, like, now you can't even predict what's going to happen with this team. This is a true team, a true trait of this, a team that, you truly do not know which team you are going to get. The Bears. Next team on the bottom three is the Bears. Just like you lost to a Lamar-less Ravens team who's looked dead the last 3 weeks. Like, yeah, they had the bye week to get themselves reset, but they've looked dead without, even with Lamar, they were kind of dead too. You're hot. You're on a 4-game winning streak coming into this game. And then you sold it. And you lost by 2 scores. And yeah, you even had a chance to make it a 1-score game with what, like 25 seconds left? Caleb Williams throws like the sorriest freaking pass from the 2-yard line. Sidearm up and away, not even close to completing the pass. And DJ Moore was bare ass in the back of the end zone. Last team on the bottom three, the Panthers. No Bryce Young, but boy, they got gashed by the Bills. Boy, oh boy. A Panthers team that they're on a winning streak themselves as well. Panthers are looking really good, but these kiddies were not prepared for Josh Allen, and that was a bad effort at home for Carolina. That's for sure. That is the week 8 top three, bottom three. Thoughts from you fellas? You guys want to chime in on any of this?
Maybe the Bears can, you know, get rid of their ping pong table, their darts thing. Yeah. They can get rid of a few things as well, and maybe they'll play better.
Fair but enough.
Other than that, I don't think I have much to say.
Yeah.
Oh, Falcons, how do you lose to Miami?
How?
they were dead in the water. And you just said, nah, I'm just going to not do anything. And don't even tell me it's because of Kirk Cousins. I mean, Michael Penix wasn't looking that good either.
Now, all right, pick 'em results. Let's figure them out.
Can we get some like Jeopardy music there? I hadn't tallied them
up.
Yeah,
hey, you know what?
I'm a useless, unproductive member of society.
Hey, let's go through some honorable mentions while you're calculating.
Okay.
Tennessee only put up 14 points. Saints, honestly, low key bottom three. Like, even though they won the Bucks, like that was an ugly 23-3 win. Nice, CJ.
That's not me.
Oh, who's playing that?
I think it's.
Oh, it's Adam from behind the scenes.
Thanks, Adam. You're a real one for this.
But 152 passing yards from Baker Mayfield. Like, this wasn't. This was an ugly, ugly win. Like, you look at the Saints side, Spencer Rattler didn't have a great game and they benched him. The Bucs were outgained in this game, too, which was kind of intriguing, but they also got four turnovers to begin with. May as well. Is this some lo-fi or something? Like,
Adam has eight, by the way, picks right.
Ooh. Adam has
eight. Not picks. A good week for.
I feel like he got the same amount of points last week too. Could be wrong.
I think this week was a bad week for me just based off the results.
I think so.
You have seven.
Oh,
worse than Adam?
Oh, disgusting.
Wait, I also have seven because, ooh, Chris, we had all the same picks.
True.
And Tuck, you have 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold on. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Hey, low-key, I think Tuck wins. Tuck has 9.
Oh, Tuck won this week. How about that?
Yeah, because he picked the Ravens, the Bills, the Pats, the Eagles, the Bucks. That's 5. Then the Colts, the Broncos, the Packers, and the Chiefs. That's 9. Tuck, you win. The only reason Adam didn't win is because he picked the Giants. Which, Loki, I understand. I understand it.
Yeah, that's. All right. So that is all the scheduled content that we have for you today. There was some other injury news that came in throughout the day as well. Pat Surtain were considered week to week and could land on IR with a pec strain. Kyle Shanahan told reporters that it's too early to tell about Brock Purdy this week. Obviously, we talked about Lamar Jackson. Carson Wentz and his wife are expecting their fourth baby girl any day. Congrats to them.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to end a nice light note. That'll do it for us today. Thank you for tuning in for another Tuesday episode of the Fumble Risky Podcast. Adam, sign me out with that music. Sign me out with that music. Nice. New episodes coming out on Friday at 8 a.m. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We also have all of our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Also, be sure to follow our Instagram, Fumblerski_podcast, to keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, he's CJ Medeiros, he's Justin Tucker, I'm Chris Kostich. We'll see you on Friday. Over and out.